So we're in Boston, and I had multiple requests from human P1s, because we are here, to tell my very intimate story of Boston.
You have a story of Boston?
Not so much the city, but the band that stole its name from the city. Because as you see, there is, was, I believe it's a was now because the participants aren't doing very well, a band called Boston. And the band broke out in the mid-70s, 1976 is when their self-titled album Boston came out. And
pretty creative.
Right, and it instantly shot up to the top of the charts. Now, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but we talk about, like, how we couldn't believe that Zach Bryan, that somehow that guy went from playing nothing to playing Red Rocks and playing arenas, and now he's playing football stadiums in, like, a year, 2 years, whatever it is. The first time that the band Boston played in New York City, the first time, they played Madison Square Garden.
Jeez.
They went from nothing to Madison Square Garden in about 6 months. So the band was absolutely huge, and Ham, I don't know if you found More Than a Feeling, but you're more than welcome to play it.
You've been cleared to play More Than a Feeling.
They were a huge influence on me as a kid. I loved them when I was in middle school. Thought that they were about as badass as you could get.
Man, I definitely had a phase.
No, yeah, I was suckered in by them heavily. And they were so big that they were one of those bands that didn't release very many records at all. Matter of fact, they released their first record in 1976, like I said, and then they released another one in 1978, and that had Don't Look Back and a couple other songs that you're familiar with. But then, and this was very odd for back then, they took an 8-year break in between albums. Now, there was a lot of band pushback, turmoil. Yeah, there was a lot of label issues, a lot of weird things were going on. Well, again, for me, I was early in high school, and I was still into this big Boston thing. I thought that they were about one of the coolest things going. And when we heard that they were making a new record, it spread like wildfire across the school and friend group, like, oh my God, they're back. Oh, it's so unbelievable. And so throughout the summer of 1986, there was scuttlebutt about this new Boston record. And if you were lucky enough to have, like, be a subscriber to Rolling Stone or Spin magazines, you would read little snippets about what Brad Delp and the guys were doing with the band Boston. And again, this was 10 years after their debut. And a lot of times, if you're a big band, Dave, I don't know how many records probably at that time big bands were making in a 10-year span, but it's probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I mean, it had slowed down, like, in the 60s and 70s, labels expected bands to put out an album a year.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as you got into the 80s, it was maybe in every 2 or 3 year cycle.
Right. And now, I mean, you see bands taking 5, 6 years off, and it's no big deal at all. No one even blinks. Well, an 8-year gap back then, though, was huge, especially if you're a band that had reached the very zenith of their profession, that was selling out arenas everywhere, that had number one hits across the board. All of it. So, fast forward to the fall of 1986, and the record was supposed to be released, I think, right around the beginning of September. And then it was announced that there was another delay. And so, we, as sophomores in high school, me at least, I was a sophomore in high school. And at the time, I was in a class called Algebra 2, all right? Not Algebra 1. We had moved on.
This is a sequel.
Yes, we were in Algebra 2. And we're all sitting around waiting on our teacher to tell us that, well, you know, whatever the formula of the day was, and we're just kind of talking before class, as you will, in that little 5 minute period, and the topic turned to Boston. And there's a lot of things that you remember about high school, and there's a lot of things you don't remember about high school, obviously. This is one of those where I can remember where I was sitting. I can remember who was in my immediate circle.
Right.
I can remember what people were wearing, because this was such an outlandish comment, yet it all made sense. And there's about five of us sitting there talking, and I'm sitting on my desk, not in my chair. I'm on my desk, arms crossed, legs crossed, just
hat backwards,
going around on this conversation, going, you know, just how excited we were and blah, blah, blah. And then my friend, she says, and I'm going to leave her name out of this, but she said, y'all, I don't know if y'all have heard this or not, but I heard that the reason for the delay in the new Boston album is that the guitars are so awesome that America's not ready for it. To which none of us batted an eye.
Made sense.
And I believe my response was, no way.
Yes way.
So how do we prepare America for the guitars? Like, if they need time to gather themselves for these guitars, what's the process?
I don't know. But imagine being so good at your craft that you say, we have a Labor Day release date. But then right before you release it as a band, you say, guys,
they're not ready.
I just don't think the country's ready for what we're about to produce.
Yes, we've become accustomed to the band's not ready, or something's not ready in the process. Somebody got sick, or who knows what happened. But we've never heard the audience is not ready yet.
Yeah, and the fact that she didn't start this rumor, she heard it from someone else. And who knows if it started even in Dallas or Arlington, where I'm from, or if it started in Arkansas, or it started in Georgia or whatever, and it spread its way toward the West. I have no idea, but imagine,
bro,
if that ever got back to the band, how hard they would laugh at something so effing stupid that was a thing, and that kids around the country not only were spreading that rumor, but that they believed it.
How about Amanda, by the way? He's playing right now.
And Amanda was the first single off that record.
Yeah, I'm seeing that a snippet of Amanda leaked in 84.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and then it took until 86 until everyone was ready for it.
So 2 years.
Yeah.
Before we got our heads around.
But Tom Scholes, he's the mastermind of
Boston.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Brad Delp was a lead singer. Scholes was a guy that went to MIT.
Yeah, he's a genius. And he built his own home studio back in the days when no one did that.
Yeah.
And recorded the entire first record all on his own.
Yeah, played every single instrument on it. He went to MIT, total brilliant guy, went to work at Polaroid, and as a young dude was making enough money to sock it all away and build this studio in his basement. And then created all this. I mean, did everything, played all the instruments, and you know,
created that guitar sound that just blew people's minds.
Yes, yes, he did. But I have to tell you, I was so geeked when Amanda was finally released. But then I didn't mind this song, but I was like, wait, these guitars,
the first two records were better.
I was almost thinking that I shouldn't turn it up too loud, because my head might explode.
Yeah.
Right?
It's too dangerous.
I just keep it on like four.
You can't wear headphones.
No. Keep it low in your car. But then I'm like, well, this guitar kind of sucks.
All right. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that tonight.
Shout out to Boston.
All of Boston.